Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers 35, and a couple of things that are taking place in this chapter are the following. One, God is telling Moses to make sure that they give cities to the Levites so that when they enter the promised land, the Levites will have what's due them. That's the first part, but then it gets into cities of refuge. And, you know, we're living in a time of not as great of organization as what, say, we have today with, you know, courthouses and judges and everything else. You know, these people are living in tents out in the desert, but they're about to enter the promised land. And God is trying to establish justice in the community. He does not want the Israelites to commit murder against one another or anyone who's sojourning among them. He takes murder very seriously, and in fact, if someone is murdered, it actually puts a stain on the whole community, and God desires that they would have a very just nation, and he does a couple of things in regards to murder. One, if someone murders someone, and if you'd say intentionally, or they go to harm someone, and as a result, that person is killed, it was life for life. The person who killed them was to be killed, and really the closest family member to the one who was killed was supposed to kill the one who killed them. Now, what this would do is dramatically decrease murder amongst Israel, because if you murdered someone, you're going to lose your own life, and God did not want them to commit murder against one another. However, in the course of life, things happen and people do get hurt and people do die. And sometimes it could be like someone would say, oh, well, you committed murder, but maybe it was an accident along the way. You know, they're doing a lot of outdoor things and setting up tents and tearing down tents and setting up the tabernacle and tearing down the tabernacle, or going out through the journey of life to, you know, maybe find animals to eat or to get wood for the fire, and there's axes and whatever else is involved. Well, anyway, someone dies. If someone said, oh, well, they committed murder, God set up a city of refuge. And the Levites had the cities of refuge. But what that meant was someone was able to, if someone said, hey, they committed murder, they were able to go to a city of refuge and they'd be safe there. So the manslayer, meaning the next of kin of the one who was murdered, couldn't touch them because they would go to a city of refuge until there was a time where it could be determined whether they actually murdered someone or not, and that way that person wouldn't have to be killed. So it was a way of making sure that if someone's charged with murder, it would be just, they wouldn't be unjustly charged, and they'd have a place to go to be safe until their case could be heard. And then it says in verse 30, if anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death at the evidence of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Moreover, you shall not take ransom for the life of the murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. So if someone is guilty of murder, they shall be put to death, but it needs to be based upon more than one witness. And God had a fair way. He had a just way of not only preventing murder, but also preventing someone from false accusation. He is a very just God. And isn't it interesting that needed to be on the basis of two or more witnesses. So you couldn't just charge someone with murder with no evidence. There had to be strong evidence. And, you know, we have a justice system today. Sometimes it's not used as well as it should be, but many times it is. And, you know, we try to have justice and make sure that someone's not falsely accused in the way that we do things today. And I would say we got a lot of what we do from the Bible. You know, the Bible knew what to do first and how to handle these things. And, you know, many laws really come from what God had ordained first. I think there's something interesting in this regard. Some of you might remember O.J. Simpson and his murder case, and I do believe that he did kill Nicole Brown Simpson, and the man's name was maybe John Goldman. And there was O.J. Simpson's ex-wife who he murdered, and you might recall that he fled the scene, and you know there's this scene of him going down the highway with a Bronco, and there's helicopters chasing him and things like that. Well, in the end, you know, it was a massive trial, and he ended up getting acquitted of the murder. And you know, you might remember the gloves. He said the gloves didn't fit, and you know, we don't need to take in that whole case. But basically, one of the reasons he got off, and you could say it was because of judges, or he had a lot of money to fight the case, and a lot of different things like that. However, there were no witnesses. There was no one who actually saw OJ kill his wife. Now, we don't have the same exact ex-wife. We don't have the same exact laws that God established here. We don't always have to have two witnesses, so there can be evidence that makes it beyond a reasonable doubt. But if there would have been a witness, if there would have been someone who said, yes, I saw OJ kill his wife, he would have been guilty, right? Now, what they would have tried to do, though, is defame that witness and say, oh, you can't trust that witness. But what if two witnesses? What if two different people saw him kill his ex-wife? He would have been guilty as charged, right? There's no way he would have got away with it if two people said, yes, I physically saw him do it. Imagine if 12 people saw him do it. Or imagine if 500 people saw him kill his wife. There's no way he would have gotten off. And I think there's an interesting point to be made. Did you know that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he went up on that cross and he died. And then he came back to life again. And he showed himself to his apostles, and he showed himself to the people along the road to Emmaus, and he showed himself to Mary. And he came back again and again, and Peter saw him, and John saw him. And in fact, it is stated that more than 500 people saw Jesus in his resurrected form after he died. The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so strong, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not just one witness. It's not just two witnesses. There's 500 witnesses to his resurrection. And even more incredible than that, all his apostles were martyred for living for Jesus and living for promoting his gospel after his death and resurrection. And we have written testimony of their martyrdom. We have records that show that they died for their faith. Guess what we have no records of? We have absolutely no records of any apostle saying, oh, you know what? It wasn't true. Oh, I made it up. No, we didn't actually see Jesus die, even though they were killed for it. Now, why would they die for a lie? If they knew they were lying and now they're going to be killed for following Jesus, if they knew they were lying, I believe they'd say, hey, you know what? I didn't do it. But they could not deny what they saw with their own eyes, and they were eyewitnesses to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They touched the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. They saw the hole mark in his side. Jesus rose from the dead. The evidence is beyond a reasonable doubt. It had more than two witnesses, and you can trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior because he beat death, and he went ahead. He rose. He went ahead to prepare us a place in heaven, and those who have trusted in Jesus will also one day rise to eternal life in him. You know, I'm grateful that we have a just God, and he showed his justice here in Numbers 35, but he also showed his justice in that a sacrifice was required for sin. In order to be forgiven, there needed to be a sacrifice, but God made his own sacrifice, and he did it of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God was just. He took out his justice. He took out his wrath on his Son so that the wrath that was due us for our sin could be atoned for through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That way God was just and a justifier. He was just. God followed his own rules. And through following his own rules and sacrificing his son as the Lamb of God, he justified. He made right. He made us righteous before him because the sin that was separating us from God got placed on his son. And hallelujah, there's eyewitnesses to it all. You can believe it. I do. Hallelujah. You can trust it. Jesus rose from the dead, y'all. There's more than two witnesses. God bless you all.